I'm amazed that anybody will come hear me twice in the same day. So I appreciate that so very much, that you being here this evening. And I know it's, to my wife, when I got home today, I don't know what time it was, 1:45, 1:30, whatever. But short evening, I said, what a wonderful day to take a nap. Man, I was so sleepy, I wanted to go to sleep, but I said, I can't. I don't have no time to do that, so I didn't do it. So, but anyway, you got one for me? I appreciate that, brother. Oh, thank you much. But anyways, I know it's not easy to come out on nights like tonight. It's so foggy and all cold, blizzard cold nights as well, which tonight is wonderful. But I appreciate your faithfulness. I know it's sometime we get... But the Bible says, well, sometimes we get weary and well-doing. And this sometimes is. I think preachers need some time to learn that. I try to learn that through my life, but sometimes it's very difficult for people, and I always commend them for coming because it's not always easy. But, you know, you pray for your pastor, as you've already been mentioned by Brother Paul and him and Cher as they drive back tonight as well. And so I pray he'll have... a couple of good days away somewhere. I think he's going to see Cher's mother up in the northern part of Virginia, I believe it is. And so they need that time away. Vance Havner used to say it. He says, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. And I think that's true for all of us sometimes. But he's talking about a pastor retiring. Well, he's just entering into his unhappy time of life. I'm there and I know what it is. I'm happy and unhappy. People ask, hey, like retirement. I say, it's bittersweet. Whatever that might mean. You know, I don't miss all the stress. I don't miss that part of it. And I know we're in a changing world when on the preachers and the churches to accept the wrong into the ministry and to sanction it as it's okay. I'm from the old school and I can't accept that. And so... But I know we live in a different era of time today, no doubt about it. But anyway, I really miss my people. I love my people. I really miss my church. I miss preaching. But, you know, I love studying the Word. But at the same time, it gets weary too. I mean, when you study to preach and teach four times, a week or so, it gets a lot of hours. I mean, my hours in the office used to be 40 to 60 hours just in the Word because I'm pretty dumb, so it takes a lot more for me to be able to come up with what I have come up with versus some people. But then time you do the ministry work and all that has to be done. It's for 33 years, I put in a lot of hours. And God gave me the best church in the world. I really feel like that, and I love my people, and they still love me, and we just think a lot of them. So I really appreciate my son being here again tonight with me. We had a good time together. Always a good time to spend. Time is good always to spend with your children when you can talk and go somewhere together, and that's just a real joy. And it's always good to have my wife come along. She had a play this morning for church, and I thank God she could. My wife and I want to help ministries any way we can. Ministers struggle, and so we want to try to help any way we can. All right, open your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 13. I'm going to read one verse here. There will be multiplicity of verses I'll be trying to quote or read or whatever, but you might not be able to get to all of them, and I understand that that's time-consuming when you have to turn to all the verses and all, but the older I get, the more I want to support what I say with the Word of God. It's not what I say to make a whole lot of difference at all. It's just kind of talking. But if it comes from God's Word, from the mind of God, it's very important that we need to listen to and hear what God says. But tonight, I'm preaching on a subject that I feel that the whole church needs. I think any church needs. I think any Christian needs. In fact, I think any person needs this that I'm going to speak on tonight. And the Bible said in verse 12, hope deferred make the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So Hope deferred. The word here, deferred, it means to put off. It means to delay, to postpone, to prolong something. But when it comes, the desire finally comes to pass, it is such a satisfaction and such a contentment. Think about something you've hoped for. And when it was deferred, when it was delayed, when it was postponed, it was prolonged coming, or you knew whether or not it was going to even come, it did something to your heart. And he said it makes the heart sick, and that is disheartened. It makes the heart discouraged. It makes us despondent, so to speak. So it things like that does affect us humanly, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. They affect us. And so tonight I want to help you, because tonight I'm speaking on hope. And we know that sometime hope has been deferred, as the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. There may be some of you here tonight, your heart feels sick because something you have and maybe still hoping for has not yet fulfilled or come to pass or come reality yet. And your heart could be hurting, could be discouraged, could be sick, as the Bible calls it, as results of that. We know that you can just keep on hoping for things that do not come to pass, but that will make your heart sick when you hope and hope and hope and it doesn't ever come to be reality. That is why that we ought to be in step with God's will in our life. You say, why is that so important? Well, it's very important because then when our expectation that we had hoped for are deferred, or they are put off, they are delayed, or may never come to pass. But when that happens, we can accept it somewhat better because we know it is obviously what we hope for isn't God's will for my life. So God did us a favor, though it was very painful to go through, but God deferred that hope that we might have had and put it off for my benefit and for his glory. He knew what that thing might would have done to me if I would have had it and it had not been deferred. Now, we hope for many things that will never come to pass because it's not God's will for that to happen for us, though we hope for it. I know years ago, there was a Fifth Avenue, Chrysler Fifth Avenue, I guess it's Chrysler, but that was a beautiful car, and I wanted it so bad. And you've had those times. You know, it's a dangerous thing to drive on a car lot when you got a dirty car. A dirty car gets you discouraged, make you want to trade, don't it? And so, but anyway, this car was beautiful, and I wanted it so bad, and I rode, had to go about 30 minutes to see it. I'd ride down occasionally just to see it and see if it was still there. But for some reason, I didn't get it, couldn't get it, and I didn't get it because somebody else got it. And, you know, that kind of deferred my hope on that car. I don't know why that car. I liked it. I really don't care for it today, but at the time I did like it. But the Bible is clear that there is hope for our loved ones who die in the Lord. Thank God for that hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," we do have some of those, "concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Thank God that we who have loved ones who have died in Christ, there is hope that you will see them again. Amen. You'll spend time with them in eternity and forever with them. What a hope that is. Also, there is hope of heaven for those who once were hopeless, but if they've gotten saved, there's hope. The Bible makes it very clear, and I'm going to turn and read. You don't have to turn there, but over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and listen to what it says, verse 11. Here Paul talking to the Jewish people, Gentile people, and it says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in the times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at
that time ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise of having hope. Didn't have no hope. And without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were hopeless, but the blood of Jesus Christ gave us hope that we can have heaven as our home one day. The Bible also said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul said to the church at Colossae, we give thanks to God and to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and for the hope that which is laid up for you in heaven, which the Bible says in verse 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope for heaven, our hope for glory, who was lost and now have come to the Lord. So there is hope for our loved ones who die in the Lord. There is hope for those who are not saved if they come by God's way, God's plan, and that's the only way we can come. We come by His plans and accepting what He has given and what He has offered. You and I can have hope in this life, even though we were lost, but we can have hope after receiving the Lord. We know repeated postponements of one's expectation or hope is disheartening. But when the desire is at last fulfilled, it is a source of tremendous satisfaction. All of us have probably had things we hoped for, and at times they have been satisfying, and it is tremendous satisfaction. Now, those who hope to be married, and because of a long-term disappointment, they decided to choose a spouse for themselves rather than what God would have them to have as a life's partner, and therefore they made an awful mistake in their life. Many has done that because they had a hope to get married. And maybe the picking was getting thin because of age, maybe. Many things in the picture. But hope is removed as a result of disappointment. And we can be disappointed. Hope deferred has caused many to suffer lots of heartache because they didn't consider God in the matter. Every one of us at times, we have made a mistake. We hope for something. We win it on our own. We fulfill that desire, that dream, but we go back and we look at it and say, wow, I really wished I'd let God lead me in that decision that I made, that I have been miserable as a result of that. They didn't consider God's will in the matter, and when deferred or didn't get it, it shattered their dreams and their lives. And so often we have thought, well, I want this, I ought to have this, I deserve this, I've earned this, and so on. But if it's not in God's plan for my life, it can shatter my life, it can shatter my dreams that I've had. Because God deferred it and says, you don't need that. And He knows why I didn't need it. And I've got an illustration of the true story. The title of it is, Start It With a Brownie, a little brownie. A number of years ago, in a medical institution, they're just talking about without hope, becoming hope. A number of years ago, in a medical institution outside of Boston, a young girl known as Little Annie was locked into a dungeon. The dungeon was the only place, said the doctors, for those kind of hopeless, insane people. In Little Annie's case, they saw no hope for her, so she was consigned to living her death in the small cage, which received little light and even less hope. About that time, an elderly nurse was nearing retirement. She felt that there was hope for all of God's children. So she started taking her lunch into the dungeon and eating outside of Little Annie's cage. She felt perhaps that she could communicate some love and hope to this little girl who was going to die in the dungeon and in the cage. In many ways, little Annie was like an animal, On occasion, she would violently attack the person who visited her cage in the dungeon. At other times, she would completely ignore that you was even there. When the elderly nurse started visiting her, little Annie gave no indication that she was even aware of her presence. One day, the elderly nurse brought some brownies to the dungeon and left them outside of Annie's cage. Little Annie gave no hint that she knew that there was anything there. But when the nurse returned the next day, the brownies were gone. From that time on, the nurse would bring brownies when she made her Thursday visit to Annie. Soon after, the doctors in the institute noticed a change was taking place. After a period of time, they decided to move little Annie upstairs in the facility. Finally, the day came when the hopeless case was told that she could return home. But little Annie did not wish to leave. She chose to stay to help others as she had been helped. She it was who cared for and taught and nurtured Helen Keller. Little Annie's name was Annie Sullivan. We know Helen Keller was born a healthy child in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in June 17, 1880. At the age of 19 months old, she became both blind and deaf as a result of an unknown illness, perhaps rubella, whatever that might be, I don't know, or scarlet fever. But here was a little girl that lived in a cage, thought she'd die in a cage. She was hopeless, but somebody showed her attention. And she had a chance to go home. She refused it because she wanted to give somebody else hope like she had hope. And she helped Helen Keller to be able, the blind and deaf, to be able to survive in a dark world. You know, hope can be removed by a lot of things. For one, sickness can remove hope. Hope is seen, I think, in our children growing up, but it is removed sometimes by terminal illness. Some of you family may have been there before. I know a dear pastor friend of mine in Richmond, Dr. and Mrs. Jim Sumpner at the great Landmark Baptist Church. We know that their son suddenly died Friday morning, September the 20th, at 55 years old, pastoring his father's church, the Landmark Baptist Church. He was 2 days from being able to dedicate on Sunday morning the new renovated sanctuary that was in real need of that. And he took over as pastor, I guess, 8-9 years ago. And when his dad's health got bad, but he died. And what a sad thing. Here was a dad and a mom was hoping to see their son to take that church on into another phase. And he passed away at a young age, sitting at the kitchen table, raised his hand, and went home to be with the Lord. What a sad story. Sickness removes hope for that mom and dad and for the wife of Donnie as well. We know hope of enjoying some of the things we once did, but is removed by illness, strokes, Alzheimer's, age, that we can no longer do those things. Hope is getting married is slim to none because of a disabling occurrence in a life. A few because of wanting to follow the scriptural advice, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Had hopes to get married, but maybe never got to do that. And that is very disheartening to an individual. Hope of having a child one day that may be removed by a medical complication for mom or dad. That hope never came. There's a whole lot of things that hurts us. We know there is hope is removed because of these. We know not only sickness, but we know sin. Sin surely removes hope. Hope, ambition, aspiration, oftentimes removed from people's lives as a result of some kind of a sin that we may have committed. Sin removes the hope of ever having the testimony we once had. We once go over and get in sin, we know that sometime, or most of the time, we never get back to the spiritual level that we used to be at. There's always somebody looking at us. Always maybe somebody thinking, that's that guy, that's that lady that used to have a good testimony. And you can still have one, but it's hard in our own mind to get back to where we used to be. Sin of immorality has removed the hope of going to the marriage altars as a virgin for young people today. Sin of a preacher removes the hope of a church forever being the same as it once were after he's committed an awful sin. Sin removes the hope of a career we've dreamed of and strive so hard to have. But sin stripped us of that dream, stripped the family of that. The sin of an arrogant, power-struggling, unsubmissive church member can and has removed the hope of a church, causing Ichabod to be written up over its door. It means the absence of God. God is removed. The sin that brought divorce in the home removed the hope of children, of knowing the unity and the security that a home needs to provide for little children is coming up. Sickness and sin takes away hope. And then I think about the siblings in the home have or can remove one's hope sometime. Then I think about salvation even remove hope. You said salvation remove hope? With salvation, we know comes directions, dreams, and desires often has to be rearranged because we accepted the Lord. Reroute, rethought, refusing things. Removing hope as a result of salvation is a good thing. There's some things because we got saved that we know that we lose hope in some things that we had in our mind. Many people, we'll talk to them, they'll talk about things they hope to be, but because they've got saved, things had to change. We know because the Bible makes it very easy to see when he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things come to pass, all things become new. Some things we know change. With now being saved, all hope of being what I once was is gone, thank God. I have hope now, before I was saved, all hope of ever being what I once was, that's gone. I'll never be what I used to be. May not be what I ought to be, want to be, but I won't ever be what I used to be because I've been saved. We know one's profession in hope of bringing them wealth and fame and life and may retire at a young age or whatever have been changed because of their professional place in the world is unscriptural. So they have to change jobs. Here they are maybe up the corporal ladder doing well, but there's something in that position that we know violates the Word of God. And their hope of future has to go because salvation removes the hope of that future. We know the love of your heart that you and I hope to marry, spend the rest of our life with, may have to change because, again, an unscriptural relationship. There have been people who's gotten saved, realize the person I'm going to marry is not a Christian, and they had to break it off. Somebody thought a lot of. You see, sometimes physical love and attraction is stronger than the Word of God, and we go on and do what we feel that we want to do, disregarding the will of God. And that can be very painful the rest of our life. We know there is hope. Though I mention a lot of hopeless things, and there's many more. But there is hope. Whether it be sickness that took away that hope, whether it be sin that took away that hope, whether it be the siblings in the home that took away that hope, whether it be salvation took away hope we had for the future, that has removed hope. I want to remind you, there is hope. When you and I think there is no hope because of all these things, preacher, that you've just mentioned, there is no hope. There is hope. I want to assure you there's hope. Your life may seem as a forest fire that has burned out of control and seemingly there is no recovery from the damage that it's caused. But I want to remind you, there is hope. Let's look at several verses to create or to recreate hope in our life when we say there is no hope. The psalmist said in 31:24, don't give up, and place our hope in the Lord. He says this, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. No one can hope in the Lord in vain. When we place our hope in the Lord, regardless of what has happened and transpired in the past, when we place our hope in the Lord, there is hope for you and I. But we put our hope in him, and not in ourselves, and not in the fleshly arm of man. Proverbs 13:12, the verse, our text tonight, lack of hope is a sick-hearted feeling, but the Bible says hope deferred, postponed, put off, delayed, prolonged. He talks about it. Makes the heart sick, makes it discouraged, makes the heart depressed, makes the heart dispirited. But when the desire cometh, it says, it is a tree of life. It's inspiring. It is encouraging. It is joyfulness, as the psalmist said. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. We know the Bible says in Psalm 43:5, the Bible says there in those words, the psalmist had obviously lost hope when he began to have a conversation with himself. That's when you know you're getting bad trouble in it. And he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you bothered, soul? Why are you so disturbed, soul? He said, why are you so upset, soul? Why are you so uneasy, soul? The soul is disquieted. The soul is disturbed because he was having problems. But there's four hopes because there is hope. I'm going to have time to just about mention the four, and I wish I could develop them because I think they're very vital. And I guess we could have a New Year's Eve service early and go to 12 and we'd get it done, but I guess we won't do that. But first of all, there is hope because, number one, there is no problem so big in God's will that God cannot resolve it. There is hope because there is no problem so big in God's will that God cannot solve the problem and give us hope. Ephesians 5:20 supports that. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. We know that the preceding request that we might make because we said there absolutely cannot be, the problem cannot be resolved. And we would ask God to resolve it, and we're thinking, well, what a request, how vast, how bold, how seemingly impossible that request is, even unto God. But God permits all things that come to us. Nothing comes your way or my way that doesn't first pass over, and may I, pardon the expression, pass over the desk of God. Everything comes into my life, God has okayed it if it comes into my life. And God permits all things that come to us. So why would God permit something that he cannot resolve? Why would God permit something come in your life, in my life, that he himself cannot resolve at some point if we continue to trust him? Because there's no problem so big in God's will, that is, that God cannot resolve the problem. But God is able to do more than I could ask and more than I can think. That's his will is for my life. Something it's not his will, but that's not a reflection on the inability of God. If it's something that God doesn't do and it's not in his will and he doesn't do it because of that, that's no reflection upon God's inability to do it. But God has protected me is what he's done by not doing that, that I do not need in my life. And it's done according to the Holy Spirit that's within us. God's ability expresses our assurance of answer. Prayer. Our highest aspiration is beyond God's power to grant what we ask. He's able and beyond able to resolve the issue that's bringing hopelessness in my life and make me feel and have my hope deferred by what it is in my life. We know Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call on me, unto me, God said, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, you just ask me. You pray. You believe. You trust. He said, I can resolve problems that you have, that make you and I feel hopeless. I can make you feel that you have hope again. Thank God. There is no problem so big in God's will that he cannot resolve it. There's not a problem like that. God can do that. Second of all, God never discards anyone. God never discards and throws away anyone. Regardless of what we may have done, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, Jesus here, 700 years before he came to the earth, here he is talking about the ministry that God's going to give him. Here in the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. Now this was for Isaiah, prophesied about Jesus as well. The Spirit of the Lord, he says, upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captive, and to open up the prisons to them that are bound. He says, God has called me that I would deliver broken hearted people that are bound by sin. And in this verse 1 and 2, it spoke of here. It is quoted by Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth in a book of Luke, I believe it is, in chapter 4. He quotes this verse and he tells them there in that verse in Luke chapter 4, and I believe verse 21, and he adds that, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. When Jesus quoted that verse in Luke 4, he said, today is this scripture fulfilled that was prophesied 700 years before, what his ministry is going to be like. He said, I'm fulfilling this scripture. I've come to set you free, give you liberty who are bound. And simply, God never discards anyone because that's why he came. He came to give good tidings to the meek, and he came to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to those that are in captivity and to open the prison doors to our life and give us freedom again. Never God discards anyone. Jesus came for the sole purpose to set men free and give them hope again who are hopeless. We know that I guess it's in Jeremiah, I'm not going to turn there. 18, he talks about the potter and the clay. From that verse, we know the potter, Jeremiah went into the potter's house. He had the clay on the wheel, and he was pumping the wheel with his feet, and he was forming that piece of clay, and there was a particle in it, and it broke. He scrapped it, but he did what we do today with paper, plastic bottles, so on. He recycled it. He took it and made it over, made it a usable, beautiful vessel. The only choice is, God doesn't discard us either. But the choice is, the pot, the clay could not make the choice. But the potter made the choice. You and I make the choice whether or not we want God to remold our marred vessel or not. He will not do it against my will. And we know that as God is more than willing, if permitted, to remold our vessel, because he discards no one if we'll come to him. And then we know that there is hope. Regardless of what happens, to remove what seems to be all hope from our life has saved people. The saved people have the wonderful hope of heaven awaiting them. Whether anything works out in life or not, coming to Jesus Christ, being saved, regardless of what happens, that has removed that hope that we have. But we know coming to Jesus Christ as a saved person, we have the blessed hope of the assurance in the future to be with the Lord. We have that hope. Nobody can take that away. So when we seem to be hopeless, there's one thing we know that is for sure. And that is, Jesus said it in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. One day, regardless of what took away the hope, but there comes a day, one day, we will have that hope. Titus talks about it. And lastly, when we seem hopeless, seem like there's no hope, no one to offer me hope, I can claim it for myself. Maybe no one offers you hope, and you might have to claim that hope for yourself. The psalmist said in 39:7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. When all else fails, seem hopeless, no one helps, no one offers that hope that we need, he says, Lord, my hope is in thee. I'm glad I don't, and you don't, have to depend on human mortals for hope. It's good when we can. One thing for sure, we can depend on hope in him. He's saying, my only hope is you, Lord, and apart from you, I have no hope and actually need no other source of hope. But it is good, we know, when we can have hope in others. But God and myself makes up the majority. God and you make up the majority. You can have hope because of your own self. You can put your hope in him. We know that all hope comes from God and doesn't require human intervention, though it sure does help to have people to encourage us in our hope in this life. My hope doesn't come from others, though it's good when it does. But as Samuel 30, verse 6, as David says these words, when we're talking about having hope, often no hope but in ourselves, David said these words. He encouraged himself in the Lord God. Sometimes there's nobody else to encourage you. But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Maybe we have no hope offered us, but we can claim that hope within ourselves. There is hope for those who seem hopeless because there is no problem so big that God cannot solve it. There is hope when it seems to be hopeless because God never discards anyone. If we want help and we want hope, God is the one to go to. When all seem hopeless, there's hope because regardless of what happens to remove that hope, when it seems to be hopeless, the saved people have hope of heaven when life is over. No one can remove that. And then lastly, if I have no hope to offer, no one to offer me hope, I can claim it within myself. My hope is in thee, Lord. Encouraged himself in the Lord, God. There is hope. I want you to understand tonight, there is hope for you and for myself tonight. I received a phone call from a lady who I pastored for a number of years. Wanted me to make a visit at a hospital. And I went the next day to see a person who was supposed to be dying with cancer. Had been a heavy drinker. She knew I would witness to him and talk to him about the Lord. I went the next day, April the 20th of this year. I went to room 280 East. The Lynchburg General Hospital, where I found a man and who I assume his girlfriend in the room. He'd been there 15 days with no treatments and they couldn't even tell him what was the problem, or didn't want to tell him maybe. I witnessed to them both. They were very receptive. I gave a very clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because from what I knew of them or of him, he probably was not a saved person. And I got a call 8 days later, April the 28th, that he died. As far as I know, that man was hopeless. That man had an opportunity now to have hope if he had only asked God to save him. I'm not saying he didn't. After I left, he may have. Pray to God that he did. But while I was there, what I know, he died hopeless without Jesus Christ. It doesn't get much worse than that. To leave this life without Jesus Christ, without hope, what a sad moment that was for this preacher. Tonight, folks, listen. God loves you. You got breath in your body. You have the capability mentally to ask God in these areas to give you hope. God will give you hope if you feel hopeless. He still wants to help you. Let's pray.
Our Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be able to open the Word of God again. And God, to try to share some thoughts, God, that I feel that everyone need. Because there's a lot of hopeless situations in life. God, that maybe somebody tonight, God, your Word and what you laid on our heart to share may have touched and helped and encouraged. For the Bible says that in that scripture, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. There may be some hearts that feel sick tonight. But when the desire cometh, is a tree of life. God, tonight, encourage the discouraged. Give hope to the hopeless. In your name we pray.